WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Ariel Reshef. Skirmishes continue along the Israel-Lebanon border between Israeli forces and Iranian-backed Hezbollah. And Israel has stepped up its airstrikes in Gaza, targeting Hamas holdouts. The U.S. and its allies voicing concern about the casualties and humanitarian aid getting into Gaza. President Biden spoke by phone again Monday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
According to a readout from the White House, the president welcomed the release of two additional hostages from Gaza Monday and reaffirmed his administration's commitment to efforts to secure the release of all the remaining hostages taken by Hamas. President Biden also underscored the need to keep a continuous flow of humanitarian assistance going into Gaza. He updated the prime minister on what the White House called, quote, ongoing efforts at regional deterrence and the latest U.S. military deployments to the region. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Republican Congressman Tom Emmer of Minnesota is the nominee to be House Speaker, but it's unclear if he has enough support to win the gavel. This is ABC News. Former Trump attorney Jenna Ellis has agreed to a plea deal in the Fulton County, Georgia election interference case. ABC's Olivia Rubin.
Her deal involves sort of the same sweeping cooperation that we've seen from a number of Trump's other former attorneys. So she is going to testify. She's going to fully cooperate. She's going to sit for recorded statements. She's going to hand over documents. Essentially, she's handing over every single thing she knows from the time when she was working very closely in Donald Trump's inner circle and working as his attorney.
Ellis is the fourth defendant to agree to a plea deal. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's campaign says he has qualified for the next Republican presidential debate. The face-off takes place next month in Miami. Frontrunner Donald Trump is reportedly planning to skip that debate and hold a rally nearby instead. Bobby, a 31-year-old dog ranked as the world's oldest, has passed away. Bobby's owner attributes his long life to eating human food, never being leashed, and lots of love. Ariel Reshef, ABC News.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. State investigators are in suburban Milwaukee, where a police officer shot a man to death on the roof of a middle school. It happened in Germantown last night. Local police say they got a call around 6:30 last night about a man acting erratically in the school's parking lot. Eventually, they say he climbed on the roof and fired a gun at police. Officers shot back and killed him. There's no school in Germantown today. A bill has been introduced in the Wisconsin State Senate to rename a highway after Wisconsin's Native American code talkers from World War II. If passed, the bill would dedicate a stretch of I-90 between La Crosse and Toma as the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. State Senator Patrick Teston, who proposed the bill, said in a meeting with people from the Ho-Chunk legislature, he asked them if the state had a memorial or monument recognizing the efforts of indigenous people in the armed services. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to oxfords or t-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mediacorp.com for more.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Patrick here. Patrick told me not to be concerned. It was guaranteed slam dunk, lead pipe lock that the Vikings were going to win last night. And he proved he is right.
I didn't say it was going to be quite a stone cold
lead pipe lock. Bet the house.
Yep, I put my entire life's work on the line on this game.
Broadcorp will join us. He is in his purple happy dance, and he will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll talk to him about Emmer. Cooligan, he'll talk about Emmer as well. That's going to come up here in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll get to that in a second. I got to be careful out there. I want to just, you need to be careful on the roads. It is pouring out at times. I was out, had coffee with a friend of mine, Nicole, just delightful person. Love her blue hair. Very cool. And she and I had coffee this morning, and as I was coming back, it just all of a sudden I was on the crosstown, and it was just pouring out. And what ended up happening is, and I felt sorry because, this guy clearly was, it was more than just me, but so there was a truck, semi-truck in the right-hand lane. I was in the left-hand lane, and he was on the lane that's going to go to 35W southbound, and the semi came over into my lane pretty far. And I had no other option, but I had to kind of go over. And the guy that was in the lane started honking like crazy and stuff like this. And I don't know if he didn't see the semi or what, but because it was raining pretty hard. He let me know, dude, apologies. I'm sorry. That one was on me. But I didn't want to get taken out by the semi. None of us died. Hope you have a good life. All my best to you there. They said a quarter inch of rain. I gotta believe we're close to an inch. It is pouring out, lightning, thunder, a very early spring storm in late October. God, we have broken this planet. But if you are on the roadways, anticipate rain, anticipate heavy, slow conditions, and anticipate it being probably a little bit of a longer commute out there for you there. So yeah, just be careful out there as you're heading out on the roadways. 952-946-6205 and 952-946-6205. A lot to get to today. But we have to start off with what I consider to be one of the strong points of Minnesota, C-Dart. If you did not see and I was going to bring this up yesterday, but this is an incredibly complimentary article that was in the Guardian newspapers. If you've ever thought the crop art at the Minnesota State Fair was uniquely Minnesota thing, well, you turn out it's right. According to the British newspaper, The Guardian, which took a deep dive into the quirky seed works with the Friday piece called Mona Lisa Made of Seeds, the quirky craft of crop art, creativity and agriculture merged with crop art, the craft that uses grain, seeds, and leaves as its materials. Minnesota leads the way, declares author Colony Little. Really? Really? Colony Little. A cheap sci-fi novel will reject that name as too quirky. The article delves into the history of Minnesota's crop art, which is competing in the Minnesota State Fair, strictly requires the use of plant materials grown in the state, growing all the way back to 1966. All the way back to 1966. I was born in 68. Shut up with that. Going all the way back to 1966 when the Beatles had their fourth album hit the track. Stop it. It debuted at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. The Guardian also explores the meticulous craft and time required to do crop art, the lives of those who have dedicated themselves to it in a few controversies. They include the father-daughter team of Amy and Stephen Saupe, S-A-U-P-E, whose Mona Lisa replica depicting the famous muse against the backdrop of the Minnesota State Fair took first place honors in the Natural Colors Amateur Division this year. Did it? Well, the truth is, I don't know how many divisions they have and how many different groups they have, but did you see that one? Did you go to the fair?
Did, but I did not see the seed art.
You did go to the fair, but you didn't see that. Yeah. So okay, because it is a popular thing. They definitely need a better location for it. I think they're going to have to. Nothing against it. I love going to the horticulture building. Get me some horticulture. Who doesn't love bees and scarecrows and giant gourds? Oh, the flower show, delightful. You've got that thing jammed in there with the corn judging, which, you know, I've got some questions. You know, I understand Elwin won it this year, but I was looking at Gracie's, and that ear of corn was just downright sexy. I just don't know what you're talking about. Anywho, you got it in there, jammed in there, and you just don't, you know, you have a line that goes out into the horticulture building and basically does spirals around in there because so many people want to go and see it. So I think you're going to have to do that. But here you go. And something else we're known for, Minnesota getting the proper run we deserve. Thank you. Thank you, Guardian newspaper, from the same country where they basically roll a large wheel of cheese down while they carry their wives down a hill. I don't know. I have no, what is that? I have no idea. But, you know, they've got some weird competitions over there, usually involving alcohol. I'm just going to let you know. I lived there for 3.5 years. They have, yeah, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I still do not think Tom Emmer is going to become the Speaker of the House. I'm going to start off with this, even though we are going to be Tom Emmer heavy today. We are going to be Tom Emmer heavy. I want to start off the fact that he did win his internal, the way the Star Tribune is writing this, the Star Tribune, it's as they've crowned him the king. He wins nomination for House Speaker. Well, no, he's won the closed door thing. To my knowledge, they don't even have a vote scheduled on the House floor, because he wants to try to make sure he has the votes to get the speakership, which I just don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to, these are, so he's going to be the next guy to basically lose on the House floor, unless there is a story today that the Democrats are willing to vote for a Republican candidate if it means getting him over the edge. Now, that is an interesting dichotomy in itself. Because even if Tom Emmer had, say, 210 votes, just needed 7 or 8 Democrats to vote with him, I think the mere fact that Democrats would be voting would drive away at least 100 more of those votes. So he would hopelessly get beat, because the Republicans are terrified of looking like they're working with the Democrats. And so that's going to be my guess. Is that even if he only needs a handful of votes, you know, say, you know, one of the most moderate Democrats out there, that the Republicans, that if they got wind that their vote would be with a Democrat to elect Tom Emmer, that they would vote against Tom Emmer because they just don't want to be on the record like that. So I think I just don't think it would happen. Plus the fact that I don't think Hakeem Jeffries is going to give you those votes for free. You're going to have to give up a concession somewhere. And considering you are probably getting a litany of, you need to arrest every Democrat, you need to sell their house and give it to me, all the money goes to me because they're Democrats and the founding fathers wanted all Democrats jailed. That's the truth. It's in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution. We the people, but not them. Not them. They didn't want them. So you know he's getting that stuff right now on the other side of it. The majority of 24 or so holdouts against Tom Emmer are members of the ultra-conservative House Freedom Caucus. This is from the New York Times. And many of them continue to say they will vote for Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, the hard right chairman of the Judiciary Committee, who failed to win the speakership last week. So a majority have already said that they are going to still vote for Jim Jordan. And once again, I think you got 7 votes to play with, maybe 6, you know, 7 votes to play with, I think. So if the majority of 24 holdouts are against Tom Emmer, that's over. And it wasn't like he got a massive majority either. I think it was like 110-76 over the next second place guy. So I just don't see this howler monkey exhibit in the Republican House coming together behind him. I just, and like I said, unless there is some sort of arrangement that's already been that just enough Republicans and enough Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries get some concessions, they'll do it. But I think that he'd be doomed. I think the Republican majority would get rid of him as soon as they could if he got in there because the Democrats helped him out. I just honestly, they're in a mess. They are an absolute mess. Representative Jim Banks of Indiana is among those who says he won't vote for Emmer on the floor. I can't go along with putting one of the most moderate members of the entire Republican conference on the speaker's chair, Banks said. That betrays the conservative values I came here to fight for. Wow. Wow. That is some level of delusion there. He went on to add, I hope we can find a different choice, Banks said, adding Tom Emmer's not a conservative. Troy Niels of Texas has said he's been pushing Trump for speaker, tells reporters he's voted president in the roll call when it came clear that Tom Emmer had well short of 217 votes. We are again back to where we started, Niels said. We threw our all-stars out, and that's where they're at. So now I want to go back to what was said here. This is Jim Banks of Indiana. He accuses Tom Emmer of putting one of the most moderate members of the entire Republican conference in the speaker's chair. He calls Tom freaking Emmer one of the most moderate Republicans today. Let's just go on a tour of history, shall we? U.S. Representative Tom Emmer of Minnesota is one of the several Republican politicians who say they will return contributions they received from the head of the white supremacist group linked to last week's mass shooting at the Charleston church. Earl Holt III, president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, has given tens of thousands of dollars to Republican candidates and campaign committees over the past 5 years, including $500 to Emmer and $3,200 to his predecessor in the 6th Congressional District, Michelle Bachmann. That according to the St. Cloud Times. Dylan Roof, the man accused of killing 9 people at a black church in Charleston, South Carolina last week, said he learned about the brutal black on white murders from the Council of Conservative Citizens website. The Southern Poverty Law Center lists the council as a white supremacist organization who was openly funding Tom Emmer. And only when it came out that this was who these guys were did Tom Emmer say, well, I guess I'll return that check. Holt gave 7 separate contributions to Bachmann between 2011 and 2013, made his donation to Emmer's campaign in October, shortly before the November election. In Bachmann's campaign filings, Holt listed his occupation as slumlord on 4 of the contributions, according to the Times. The moderate Tom Emmer, moderate. And he's getting bankrolled by that guy. During an October 9th, 2010 televised debate, Emmer said he would oppose legislation to combat school bullying against gay and lesbian young people. Emmer, who voted against the anti-bullying legislation as a state lawmaker, said that teachers are the most responsible for halting bullies, but suggested that the threat of lawsuits keeps them from doing so. I don't think we need more laws. I think we need more understanding. So he was perfectly fine with bullying we got to take it back in time, because that's back when I started at this radio station. I remember this. Back in the old 6 o'clock show when I was here, I remember when Emmer said this and basically said, oh, yeah, you can bully gay and lesbian kids. That's OK with him. And reminder, at that point, let's look at the moderate Tom Emmer here. That was a virtue with the Republican Party, was be able to bully gay and lesbian kids to death. That was a virtue within the Republican circles. The moderate Tom Emmer. Tom Emmer, the head of the Republican effort to take back the House, mocked a child during a Wednesday town hall event in St. Cloud. This is from a few years back. Morgan Miles, an 11-year-old, asked Emmer what he would do to stop the efforts to separate families in the U.S.-Mexico border, according to the St. Cloud Times. Rather than express appreciation for the question, Emmer attacked the 11-year-old child. Did you write that yourself? Emmer asked, pointing at the notes Miles was reading from. Now, reminder, he never did kind of come out and talk about the Trump policy of ripping infants and children away from their parents and separating them. And by the way, we should let it be known, we still have about 400 of the kids. I want to give the Biden administration a gold star for Herculean effort. They had over 1,000 kids who could not be relocated or reconnected with their own parents because the Trump administration kept no paperwork. They just yanked like, well, you can imagine the times where stuff like this has happened, where a authoritative soldier-like police state has ripped an infant or a young child from a parent and separated them with no paperwork, no nothing. And then they lost track of who the family members were. And here's Tom Emmer, who apparently didn't have any problem with that policy, upset this nosy little 11-year-old, is asking me a question. How dare you? In 2010, Emmer sponsored an amendment to the Minnesota Constitution that would allow the state to nullify federal laws. Funny story. He didn't seem to be that much for that later when someone else was in the White House. That's right. Think about that. He wanted to nullify federal laws. Yeah, okay. In October 2022, this is once again the moderate Tom Emmer, as he's been labeled by Indiana Republican Banks, one of the most moderate members of the Republican Party. In an October 22 CBS televised interview, Emmer was challenged for posting a video on Twitter that showed him firing a fully automatic machine gun with the caption, "Fire Pelosi." As the chair of the National Republican Congressional Committee, NRCC, Emmer led the 2020 election efforts to win the majority and replace House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The post occurred just days before the home invasion and attack on Pelosi's husband in California, which was inspired by right-wing rhetoric. You know, moderate. Putting Fire Pelosi on a gun. And then someone attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I will say this about Banks. He isn't lying, because that's what qualifies as moderate in the Republican Party. Nancy Pelosi's name on a gun, nullifying federal laws, chewing out an 11-year-old for a question you just don't like. Pro bullying of gay and lesbian kids, or heck, funds from outright racist organizations. That's considered moderate. And that should tell you exactly when you look at the conservatives. This is a Republican Party. The reason why the libertarians don't matter anymore is the Republican Party has jumped past them. The Republican Party is bordering on fascism at this point. And that's not me basically just being, you know, a dinkus. No, that's just who they are. This is Banks, a Republican, calling this guy, who I just explained all this stuff about, a moderate. He is, in the 1980s, Tom Emmer would probably be one of the most conservative members, if not the Strom Thurmond-esque of the House in the 1980s. And today, he's too moderate for my tastes. God help us all, man. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on a Tuesday.
Explore a world of stories, discussions, and camaraderie at Next Chapter Booksellers. They have a variety of genre-specific book clubs that meet monthly, including clubs for romance lovers, sci-fi, and manga. If your own book club needs suggestions, Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find the right book for any topic. Plus, for the little ones, Next Chapter Booksellers has children's story time every Saturday. Check nextchapterbooksellers.com for details about all of their clubs. That's the independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now, my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, super idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
The Guthrie Theater presents For the People, an irreverent new comedy born of the Twin Cities Native community. In the play, April Dakota dreams of opening a wellness center on Franklin Avenue to serve the Native community. She's counting on a grant to make it happen, but when her presentation goes sideways, she's forced to make a decision that puts the community and her culture at risk. On stage now through November 12th. Tickets at GuthrieTheater.org. That's through November 12th. GuthrieTheater.org.
Betcha didn't know that 2,300 people in Minnesota are currently waiting for a life-saving transplant. Check your driver's license to see if you're a registered donor. It's an easy way to help others. One donor can save and heal more than 75 lives. Ready to register and don't know how? Check the box on your ID at the DMV or skip the lines and register online today at life-source.org. That's life-source.org. Sponsored by LifeSource, this station, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association.
Say you miss me, say you want to kiss me. I liked it better when you improvise a story.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. What was that there? Bonnie Westlin has called for Dean Phillips to step down.
Yeah, this was a report I just saw on Twitter a moment ago. Let's
pull up the Twitterverse, as we can imagine here. If you can find that, let me know and see if that's true, because that's an interesting development. I know he's kind of, he's definitely burned some bridges within the Democratic Party. Interesting.
It may have been taken. This was from, I believe it's from Brian Baxted. I know he just moved on. He was formerly with NPR News, but now it's gone. So that might have been taken down. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And I can't remember. Wasn't Emmer, going back to Emmer here, I could have sworn Emmer had some problems because in his early political career, there was some associations he had up in the 6th District, which ended up he had to really distance himself from because they were, well, let's just put it this way, either racist or white supremacist. Now, I get it. You generally don't, push away the people that basically are going to vote right. But then when you come under a little bit more of a microscope, you have a tendency of kind of like the guy, the money he got from the guy down in South Carolina, who was, the guy that inspired Dylann Roof. You have to separate yourself up. But, we have to understand how far to the right this country has gone. I was watching last week tonight, and John Oliver was talking about one of these consulting companies, and he talked about something I have talked about for years, which is what's destroyed American companies is this idea that the executives are owed everything and the workers are owed nothing. And it's just one little part of Oliver's discussion about it, but it's this age of greed that we live in. And greed facilitates fascism. It just does. It pushes a country further and further to the right. And now we look back on the 80s and we like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, where there was this money worshiping that was going on in this country. Obscene money worshiping. And you realize the fault of all this is it's created this push to the extremist far right that is hard to even comprehend. I mean, I'm dead serious when I say this. Tom Emmer in the 1980s would if you just took Tom Emmer today and you put him in the U.S. House in the 1980s, he would be the equivalent of Strom Thurmond in the U.S. House back then. He would have been one of the most extremist far-right House members. Today, his own party considers him too moderate. And that is because they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And they create these districts where a Republican can't lose. And when you get into that situation, what happens next? You have to become the most extremist you possibly can be. because you're going to get challenged if you're not. If you're not for, you know, shooting, you know, the liberals as they run from you with your guns, that you basically are, you're one of those moderate snowflakes. That's kind of who these people are. So what do you have for me, Patrick?
I have some breaking news. This has been confirmed by Jake Sherman from NBC News. Tom Emmer's speaker bid is over.
And there we go. Oh. Will the Star Tribune's headline writer ever recover? I don't know. Cocky bastard. Oh. God, what a freaking mess. You did this. The Republicans, bravo. It's not like you fell down a flight of stairs. You fell down the flight of stairs from the Joker movie, man. And then you took the elevator back up and keep falling down those same stairs. It's like Sisyphus, only instead of a rock, you're falling down the stairs constantly. You basically, when you created the bellwether, the standard, the high water mark for your political party was a howler monkey that can't stop throwing freaking feces. That's when you guys got into this mess. Oh, I remember. Don't you remember? Don't you remember the quality? Let me pull this up here. It's like, has the Star Tribune, their headline writer must be crying right now. They still have Emmer wins nomination for House Speaker.
Yeah, I'm sure they're still scrambling to rewrite their headlines. I mean, this literally just broke in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, God. They're just weeping uncontrollably. All right. Hey, I know then we'll have to talk to Cool again about this, and I got Broadcorp coming in to talk Viking stuff, so we'll touch on them. What was your favorite not-speaker moment for Tom Emmer? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Once in a lifetime. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM950. Fear Lord. I love my Toyota vehicles, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go. Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors. You'll find high quality food and unique eating experiences with dishes from around the world. Just visit eatlocalminnesota.com for your next meal. Bruner's Supper Club invites you to Maggie's Lounge, an exciting new bar lounge. It's open Wednesdays through Sundays beginning at 4:30 for cocktails and light fare. And you don't need a ticket to enjoy the great atmosphere of Maggie's. So stop by Bruner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 for dinner, drinks, and live music from both big-name local and national artists. Cafe Latte combines a cafe dining experience with gourmet quality food. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
2023 is here, and you can make it the year of the Eagle with the National Eagle Center. You and your family can enjoy exciting eagle experiences, including field trips, private habitat tours, and exclusive behind-the-scenes tours. Meet live eagles up close, view bald eagles and golden eagles in the wild, and receive personal one-on-one education with dedicated and knowledgeable eagle experts as you journey into the world of eagles like never before. Learn more and plan your unforgettable eagle experience today at nationaleaglecenter.org/experiences.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies and rain later today with a high near 60. Tonight, more rain with a low around 51. And Wednesday, cloudy with a high around 59. Find a delicious treat at Latunji's Palette. Try their world-famous peach cobbler or indulge in their gourmet dessert sandwiches and coffee drinks. You can also find Latunji's gourmet desserts at Lund's and Byerly's at the North Market Minneapolis Farmers Market Annex or Bobby and Steve's. Visit latunjispalette.com for more.
The speaker is dead. Long live the speaker.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. God, I cannot. How are they this bad? You remember Stein was talking about this when they won back last November. And he's just sort of like, you know, he even said, I remember him on one of those shows saying, I don't think these guys are going to be able to lead. Because there is no cohesive nature to it. It's a bunch of, there is the idea of community and working together for the Republicans. They're a bunch of individual Neanderthals all hanging out by their own rock, screaming, "Get away from my rock!" And then looking at a bunch of small rocks, which are their followers, saying, "Did you tell me? See how I yelled at him about getting away from my rock?" You know, this is who they are. There are too many Republicans who want to be that vote that denies someone the speakership. That's who they are. And we all suffer. Oh, God. Man, you know what would be nice right now? Beetlejuice. Have you seen the musical? Sounds fan-freaking-tastic. Oh, as a matter of fact, I'm feeling a little randy. When the most dignified thing that's happened to your caucus in the last month is basically two robot people at a Beetlejuice thing trying to figure out what sex is. I don't know. Wait, did that? Gonna thrust, move, parry. Tell me, human, what is love? Oh. I love the theater. Who doesn't love the theater? Okay, I got other things I got to talk about. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I just have this mental image of all like the speaker hopefuls in like a cage at a gladiator, you know, coliseum, and they just lead one out. And you know, the rest of them kind of look wide-eyed as he leaves and heads out onto the arena. And then 5 minutes later, like, all right, who's next?
Are you not entertained?
I'm entertained. I think this is hilarious. Oh, God. This is just hilarious. Mind you, in the state of Minnesota, the DFL had a one-seat majority in the Senate, and they got all that stuff passed. Wow. All right. So let me move on to other things here. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. In a rare move, a Hennepin County judge rejected a negotiated plea agreement that would have spared a defendant prison time for his role in a deadly attempted carjacking in Minneapolis more than 4 years ago. District Judge Michael Byrne said Monday he didn't find 20-year-old Cyan Braveheart particularly amendable to probation, as attorneys on both sides had argued throughout the three-hour court hearing. Burns ordered the case for trial unless another agreement is reached by December 14th hearing. The decision sent a shockwave through the family of Stephen Markey, a 39-year-old paralegal from Plymouth, who was killed the afternoon of June 11th, 2019. I'm feeling hopeful that perhaps we will have some prosecution and they will actually prosecute this case sincerely and not just fold up and be a defense attorney's. Markey's mother, attorney Catherine Markey, said after the hearing, I'm very proud of Judge Burns. I am thankful that I have people like him on the bench in Hennepin County. On the day of the crime, Braveheart, then 15, and co-defendant Jared Osman, O-H-S-M-A-N, then 17, drew semi-automatic pistols at Markey near the intersection of 14th and Tyler Avenue Northeast. Charges say Osman told police he ordered Markey out of the vehicle and shot him after seeing him reach for something. Braveheart fired at the vehicle as a bleeding Markey drove off. The teens fled and were arrested after crashing a stolen SUV in St. Louis Park. In the weeks leading up to the hearing on Monday, Markey's family and supporters had sent letters to Burns asking him to reject the negotiation. The family held press conferences, circulated an online petition, and attended rallies outside the courthouse to raise awareness about the plea deal, which they said was an unacceptable outcome, lacking accountability. Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty, who office negotiated the rejected deal, has drawn criticism for her handling of murder cases following teens involving teen suspects. She's campaigning on treating juvenile offenders differently with a focus on rehabilitation. Braveheart addressed the court Monday by apologizing to the Markey family and saying that she wants to help with prevention efforts for troubled and disadvantaged youth. I take full responsibility for my actions that day, and I have no one to blame but myself for the situation. I can't go back. I wish I could. It's the only way I see forward. The negotiation for Braveheart to avoid prison time went well below the presumptive guideline sentence of nearly 22 years. Osman pleaded guilty in 2020 and remains in prison under that sentence. Prosecutors say Braveheart's public defenders argue Braveheart played a lesser role in the murder because Osman admitted to firing the fatal shot. But Burns said Braveheart shot at Markey as he drove away, which endangered the public even more, considering the city was around 5 p.m. It appears to me that the parties are both asking me to consider that Mr. Braveheart, because of his development, is both too young to the point where he makes impulsive decisions, while at the same time asking me to give him credit for making what appears to be, in his mind, extremely rational decision to only fire at the vehicle. The two of those can't exist in the same space. I agree wholeheartedly with this. Now, I'm going to go into this, and I want to explain something. Mary Moriarty, and I've said this before, and I'm not going to shy away from this. This is not what you campaigned on. You campaigned on justice reform, which I think everyone in this city could agree had to happen in some shape or form. It clearly was wrong. You can't have the Hennepin County prosecutors prosecuting Jaleel Stallings when there's clear evidence he had done nothing which they were charging him with. I mean, it really was obnoxious. So you clearly have a case here where what was said was going to happen. I don't ever remember her saying, I'm going to give teenage homicide, you know, suspects or, people that were at the, participated in a homicide, I'm going to give them DoorDash and Netflix and they're just going to stay at home. I don't remember her saying that. And I want to make sure we understand, once again, justice reform is something I voted for Mary Moriarty because she was talking about this. This is not what I'm talking about. This is a theory, basically, that if we take 100 kids and that would have been prosecuted and jailed for their actions before, and instead give them, probation and home detention and counseling, that you're not going to have problems again. And the reality is it's imploded horrifically in every other place they have tried this modern mentality. It is imploded horrifically. Because first of all, you guys completely seem to ignore the victims. You guys consistently do that. You ignore the victims who have a right to some level. I mean, I talked about this when I had my drunk driver hit me. Did I want the guy locked up for life? No. But I don't think that if you nearly kill somebody because you were drunk as a skunk, you should be basically get nothing. Most people are not looking for life sentences here, but at least a sentence where there is a punishment involved. You know, a year at juvie and then home detention for Netflix and DoorDash, that's not a punishment, no matter how you try to paint it. I am not exactly the most moderate Democrat you'll ever meet. For God's sakes, I got 13 and a half years on this station. Go back and listen to the tapes. I have been far more critical of them at times than I have been at Republicans, the moderate Democrats. Am I the most progressive? No. But I know a lot of liberal Democrats who are not happy with this whole thing. And I can virtually guarantee that Mary Moriarty is not going to win another term, because a lot of people I know who voted for her have said to me the same exact thing, that there is no way on the planet that they are going to support her again, because this is not what they voted for. I get, dreamers, I get it. Matt, come on. There's a lot of things to consider. Hey, I am not having a problem with that. And I think individual circumstances, as a matter of fact, I would make an argument that individual circumstances which lead an individual to a crime are something that are woefully inadequate when they need, when we need to look at them in regards to things. I'm not saying it's a negator. I'm not saying because the guy had a bad upbringing, whatever the case may be, that that means no punishment. But I think you do maybe not go for the maximum if you have definitive problems and that this kid's life was already taking a turn the second they were born. I have no problem with that. But the problem here is this, of multiple levels. One, as I said, you guys with your little cause here are more than willing to throw the victims of these crimes under the bus because of your feeling of your glorious, diamond in the rough movie screenplay. You think you're freaking writing when you do this stuff. He was a bad guy and he did some bad things and we did put him in prison and now he's the president of the United States. No, that doesn't happen. You've fallen in love with a theory and you argue to me individual circumstances should be factored in. And I have no problem with that. But then the next thing you say to me is this, Matt, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, their brains haven't fully formed. Stop. That's not an individual thing. Now you're painting with a very wide brush, and you're saying that every child is basically should be excused from every crime they ever could possibly commit because of brain development, which is wildly insultive to the vast majority of 15, 16, and 17-year-olds who do not murder anybody or fire a gun at a car that individual's already been shot. That doesn't happen. And I understand, once again, individual circumstances. But if you're going to argue individual circumstances, then put together a case that does that as opposed to try to paint with a wide brush. And I get it. It's expensive to do that. It's expensive to take the money and do a full update, psychological profile, historical precedence with every individual case. I get that. But this whole idea of brain size not developed is some sort of end-around attempt on a societal standard, which just doesn't freaking exist. Stop it. Stop it. You guys, you've fallen in love with the story without actually thinking about what you're doing. And none of you want to go on out there and tell the family. You got a lot of people and volunteers like, we're going to send him home to home detention and we're going to do some drum circles and we're going to hold hands and sing songs and we're going to have some counseling and he's going to be so great. And none of you want to actually go to the family of the dead person and say, hey, I understand your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. I understand they're dead, but do you know how great drum circles are? I do not believe in throwing people in jail for the rest of their lives. I do not believe you prosecute people like Jaleel Stallings under false pretenses. And, we could talk about that all freaking day. Maybe one day this week we will. But I'm sure as hell not going to just sit back and act as this callous theory of a response, which once again, and I've said this for many times, it only works until the person you got DoorDash and Netflix for violates their home confinement, murders somebody else, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, he didn't follow the script of our wonderful Diamond in the Rough movie. We have to try really hard. Just, we'll sentence him to double drum circles. Double drum circles. No. You have to have some level of punishment for a crime such as murder. And once again, you want to present a defense where you say this individual had brain development issues when they were younger because of alcohol fetal syndrome or drug use by the parent. They didn't have parents. They were left alone. They were raised, had to raise themselves. They went hungry most of the time. I mean, these are all things that should be factored into an individual's story as you tell the story. But that doesn't mean when you walk into the entire process looking for a reason to make sure the guy who's the murderer walks free, you have failed the system. It's just as bad as the guy on the far right who says, lock him up for life and throw away the key. Absolutes do not freaking work. And whether that's locking him up for life or sending him home with a stern finger wagging that you'd better not murder anybody else. All right. You have failed to hold a criminal to a justice standard. I want all of you to stop with this brain development crap. There are a lot of 15, 16, and 17-year-olds who do not murder other people. And if you want to say, well, the individual, then stop talking about every kid and 15, 16, 17-year-old because you're trying to use a societal standard to justify an individual's actions, and that does not work because 15, 16, and 17-year-olds aren't murdering kids and other people all the time everywhere. In the same sense as grown adults, which, by the way, we've got another example, and I can't wait for the brain size argument on this one when the individual here is 28 years old. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Is your home ready for the holidays? Be honest, how does your carpet look and smell right now? Okay, maybe you have a carpet disaster on your hands, but that's why you should call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Some people hire a deal of the day carpet cleaner to save a little money, but trust shouldn't come that easily. Don't DIY it. Call Zero Res because you know it's safe and effective. That's why this month you can get 3-room Zero Resified starting at just $149 and take $75 off when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM 950 special. Spell it forward or backward, it's the same. Zero Res. Refresh, restore, and protect your investment. Call Zero Res to clean your business the right way so your floors and surfaces stay cleaner longer without the harmful chemicals the other guys use.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Say you miss me, say you wanna kiss me.
AM 950. 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. A man responsible for killing a St. Louis Park father of two in May received a 4-year sentence. What? Monday, as part of a plea deal over objections from the victim's family. Relatives and friends of Antonio LeVar Moore, 37, filled the Hennepin County courtroom hoping to see Judge William Koch reject the plea deal for Demetrius Harris, 28, of New Hope. As part of the deal, Harris pleaded guilty last month to manslaughter. In exchange, the Hennepin County Attorney's Office agreed to drop a second-degree murder charge, which would have carried a higher presumptive sentence. When Harris was charged in May, Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty issued a statement saying her thoughts were with the Moore family, especially his sister, who he was protecting during the incident. Moriarty added that her office would aggressively prosecute this case and hold Mr. Harris accountable. Four years. It must be his brain at 28. Matt, come on, man. You're ruining the screenplay of The Diamond in the Rough. 4 years, man. When Harris was charged in May, Moore's mother, Mary Terrell, said the plea bargain was never discussed with the family. How do you not do that? Rather, she said, prosecutors told them just before Harris's plea hearing, September 18th. And you know why? Because they didn't want the victim's family to know they were about to let the murderer of their family member walk after 4 years, probably less time with probation. They don't care about, as Terrell said, I got two grandkids who will never see their dad again. Moore leaves behind his daughters, 12 and 8, and a large family from the Twin Cities in Chicago who attended Harris's sentencing. Moore's mother, aunts, and siblings shared victim impact statements while his nieces in the courtroom gallery so small their feet dangle from the folding chairs. And once again, the fact they were able to read their victim impact statement doesn't mean crap if you only gave the guy 4 years. But Matt, he'll be thinking about what he did. He murdered somebody. Harris made a brief apology saying sorry for your loss. Terrell said Harris's sentence isn't enough. He's going to be sit there. I got 2 years. I'm going to watch the clock and I'm going to get out. She said, and that's the message you're sending people. Harris will be allowed out of custody in about 2 years. He had credit for serving nearly 6 months in jail. Minnesota allows the remaining third of his sentence to be served on supervised release. Prosecutor Amy Blagov says she knows the family doesn't agree with the plea, but no amount of time that Harris spends behind bars will make up for their loss. What an arrogant, pathetic, and stupid argument you just made there, Amy. Hey, I know they don't agree with the 4-year plea, but there's no amount of time that's going to bring back the family members. You guys can just shut up now. Shut up. 4 years is enough. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You think 4 years for murdering somebody is a good sentence? Charges say on May 2nd, Moore's sister called him for help after Harris punched her twice in the face. She and Harris were co-parenting their child, but were not in a relationship. When Moore arrived at the Brooklyn Center apartment, the man got into a fight. Harris stabbed Moore and fled. He was arrested that night and charged 3 days later. 4 years. He stabbed the man to death. And all he was trying to do was protect his sister. You guys are broken. You honestly think to yourself that do you think the public thinks you're doing a good job? Do you think anyone thinks you're doing a good job outside of the criminals who are like, ah, God, I murdered somebody. I only get 4 years. And don't get me wrong. You're going to show us all the one guy who did it, who followed the screenplay, the diamond in the rough. And you're going to sit there and say, see, didn't we do good? And at the same time, you're going to ignore the people who have not followed the screenplay. You have got to stop with this idea that you, it's bad enough that the previous Hennepin County attorney victimized Jaleel Stallings the way he did, but you guys in the Moriarty prosecution office, you're victimizing the victims again, which in my mind is even worse. Basically going out of your way to be heartless jackasses who are pompously thinking that you're doing good while dismissing the concerns of not only the families, but of the community as a whole. Get off your damn high horses and do your job. Hour two is up next.
Whether you rent or own a home, we all likely have nightmare stories about home maintenance, or what I like to call home cringe moments. Join me, your host, Katie Shahan, for the Yarlow Home Cringe Show. See what home cringe-worthy stories we have for you each week as we talk with local home service pros. Learn best practices for winterizing your home or what to look for after a hailstorm. Listen to the Yarlow Home Cringe Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. or on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Honored to tell you I've been broadcasting my Wall of Power Radio Hour show on AM 950 for over 9 years. We have had musicians that have played with Bob Dylan and Prince, local musicians, authors, comedians, CIA agents. My motto is cool people from all walks of life in all 50 states. It airs.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.